The subject of the title of my lesson today is Down and Out. The lesson that you're about to hear is different than the lesson I've been planning on for the last couple of months, but for those that were here on Wednesday night, you could tell that I was struggling Wednesday night, and my intent was to work on my talk Thursday, but the depression that I was going through turned around and had me down enough that I didn't get out of bed other than get Kinnick to school, and then Teresa had to fight with me when she got home to get up out of bed. So for those of you that have depression, sometimes it can get pretty bad. One thing that bothers me the most is the thought that when I go out around people in the world, I don't want them, or younger people, I don't want them to get the idea that my faith has anything to do with my depression. It's not a depressing thing to have faith in God. In fact, it's the only thing that's kept me around. I know many people do deal with depression, and hopefully this lesson this morning may be able to give us thoughts on things to help us when we get down and are struggling. Now, this winter has been seemingly exceptionally long and snowy, record snowfalls, and there might be finally a light at the end of the tunnel. Even though it's cold out there today, it's not snowing and the sun's out. That's a start. So hopefully the end of the tunnel is here as far as that's concerned. Because weather has a tendency to bring down people's moods. If you go out in public and the weather's bad, you notice that a lot of people's moods are bad. And if it's nice, then a lot of people seem to be in a better mood. Other life events and family issues can do the same thing. Depression can lead to some people taking their lives into their own hands. Others can be paralyzed with self-doubt and lack of value to the point they can't find the desire to get up out of bed in the morning. At least want to get us on the better side of things. What do we turn to when we experience depression in rough spots of our lives? If you remember Rehoboam, the King Solomon's son, how he turned to his friends, his peers, to give him instruction rather than to listen to his father's advisors' advice. His father's advisors gave him good advice, and his peers gave him bad advice. And I'm afraid that happens a lot even today. I have made it a habit personally that I don't acknowledge advice from anybody that doesn't accept Christ as their Savior. I want to be able to be a man after God's own heart, like David was. And I would hope everyone has someone that they can look to in the Scriptures or spiritually in the Lord that they can look to for advice that they trust. If we don't look to God, then where is the value of life? Many people have reached out to me at times trying to give me words of comfort. because a lot of times I kind of make it public. Sometimes I'll say I could use prayers on Facebook, like I've said before, or I'm going through really a rough spot, because I believe in prayer, and I believe the more people praying, the better off we are, no matter what the situation. And that's why I put it out there. And also for people that don't want to admit that it's a problem, maybe they realize that there's somebody else that has the same problem that they go through. If we have God, we should have comfort. Even though the days seem dark, one of the things that bothers me most is not being able to convince others how important God is and how much they need Him, or see people decide that they're old enough that they don't have to be under their parents' guidance anymore, and they're old enough to be out on their own. They decide they're not going to go to church anymore. They're going to discard that and go their own way. That hurts me. There's a false positive that we can get looking at others out in the world, seemingly flourishing while living their lives, making a good living, having big houses. Meanwhile, their soul is in trouble, not knowing or recognizing that one day they face a trial and judgment with no defender, no lawyer to get them out of trouble. This is going to bring up bad thoughts for my wife, but oh well. Once I decided to go to court to fight a ticket, and I felt like it was wrong to get that I got this ticket, and I was my own defense. I was my own defender at this court hearing. Nothing I said in that courtroom meant anything to the judge. Nothing. I couldn't say anything. And the officer said things that weren't even true, and the judge accepted that. It will be much the same for those that represent themselves to God and decide not to use Christ as their representation on the day of judgment. They truly have something to find depression in, but they don't. Psalms 40, 1 through 17. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in Him. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, who does not look to the proud, to those who turn aside to false gods. Many, Lord, my God, are the wonders you have done, the things you plan for us. None can compare with you. Were I to speak and tell of your deeds, they would be too many to declare. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but my ears you have opened. Burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not require. Then I said, here I am, I have come. It is written about me in the scroll. I desire to do your will, my God. Your law is within my heart. I proclaim your saving acts in the great assembly. I do not seal my lips, Lord, as you know. I do not hide your righteousness in my heart. I speak of your faithfulness and your saving help. I do not conceal your love and your faithfulness from the great assembly. Do not withhold your mercy from me, Lord. May your love and faithfulness always protect me. For troubles without number surround me. My sins have overtaken me and I cannot see. They are more than the hairs on my head, and my heart fails within me. Be pleased to save me, Lord. Come quickly, Lord, to help me. May all who want to take my life be put to shame and confusion. May all who desire my ruin be turned back in disgrace. May those who say to me, aha, aha, be appalled at their own shame. But may all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who long for your saving help always say, the Lord is great. But as for me, I am poor and needy. May the Lord think of me. You are my help and my deliverer. You are my God. Do not delay. I feel this is very good. And verse 12 really is the way I feel a lot of times when I'm depressed. I can't see clearly through all the things that are bothering me. It seems like my problems are too numerous to count. I'll ignore that more than the hairs on my head thing, but my heart fails me. But in verse 13 and through 14, begging God for help and others to pray to deliver me from it, and those who seek to hurt me will have their time with God, and they will become sorry for what they've done. No, I really don't take solace in that, because I really don't want anybody to burn, but I know that God is going to take care of my problems, and that I can be happy about. Proverbs 12:25, anxiety weighs down the heart, but a kind word cheers it up. When anxiety gets on our heart, it weighs us down. But when people say good things to us, when we're having a rough time or we get a card, it does help to know that somebody took that little time out of their day to buy us a card, to write in it and to mail it out because they cared about us and probably said prayers for us. It does mean something. God does work visibly in people's lives when we look to Him. Jesus said these words in John 16:33. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. With Christ, we can also overcome the world. That's what He's telling us. Without Him, we're going to succumb to it. Psalms 9. Verses 9 through 13. The Lord is a refuge for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. Those who know your name trust in you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. Sing the praises of the Lord, enthroned in Zion. Proclaim among the nations what He has done. For he who avenges blood remembers. He does not ignore the cries of the afflicted. Lord, see how my enemies persecute me. Have mercy and lift me up from the gates of death. We need to use God to get us out of our troubles. Remember how Peter began to sink when he looked away from God? That's what happens to us as well. When we look away from God, we begin to sink in our troubles. Psalms 34:17 through 22. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. The righteous person may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. He protects all his bones. Not one of them will be broken. Evil will slay the wicked. The foes of the righteous will be condemned. The Lord will rescue his servants. No one who takes refuge in him will be condemned. There's a lot to take heart in those verses. The Lord saves the crushed in spirit. There are many afflictions that those that are righteous have, but God delivers us from all of them if we look to him. None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. Psalms 42 and 11. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. The New King James says, the help of my countenance, which I like best. Countenance is like your spirit and your energy that you put towards people. And God does help with that. Isaiah 40, 28 through 31. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings of like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. This can apply to any facet of our lives. No matter what age we are, no matter how strong physically we might be, we can all stumble and fall. But if the ones that trust in God are the ones that can get their strength renewed. In the next chapter, Isaiah 41, 10 through 13, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. All who rage against you will surely be ashamed and disgraced. Those who oppose you will be as nothing and perish. Though you search for your enemies, you will not find them. Those who wage war against you will be as nothing at all. For I am the Lord your God, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you. How much comfort can we get to think of God holding our right hand and being right there by us? There's nothing much more comforting than knowing he's that close to us if we only look to him, if we only pay attention. Psalms 143, 3 through 12. The enemy pursues me. He crushes me to the ground. He makes me dwell in the darkness like those long dead. So my spirit grows faint within me. My heart within me is dismayed. I remember the days of long ago. I meditate on all your works and consider what your hands have done. I spread out my hands to you. I thirst for you like a parched land. Answer me quickly, Lord, for my spirit fails. Do not hide your face from me, or I will be like those who go down to the pit. Let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love, for I have put my trust in you. Show me the way I should go, for to you I entrust my life. Rescue me from my enemies, Lord, for I hide myself in you. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. May your good spirit lead me on level ground. For your name's sake, Lord, preserve my life. In your righteousness, bring me out of trouble. In your unfailing love, silence my enemies and destroy all my foes, for I am your servant. Many of these, especially this one, read much like a prayer. Many of us might want to say when we are in trouble, or would be good to say when we're in trouble. I have seen God answer prayers, and he will when we trust in him. First Peter 5 and 7, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. He does. Philippians 4, verses 6 through 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understandings, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. We all need to trust in God for the answers. You have heard me say many times that God still speaks to us in other ways. I've relayed before that one time after I had an episode of depression, I just could not get out of my own head. And I had a car pass me that had a scripture on the back of it. And I thought to myself early that morning, I wonder what that scripture says. I'll think about it later and read it. I'm too irritated to think about reading it right now. I'm too busy. But if I would have taken the time to read that scripture, as it turns out, it would have changed my whole outlook around. God still has ways. And one of the things that weighs me down, particularly now, is dealing with having a son that's gone away to college and knowing how to process the fact that I can't always talk to him when I would like to talk to him, and he doesn't always respond to texts or phone calls when I try to get a hold of him very well. And it's pretty much impossible. And Thursday, when I was just laying there and couldn't find the strength to get out of bed, I did pray that I could talk to my son, that he would actually pick up the phone. And then I called him, and then he picked up the phone, and I was actually able to talk to him. God does listen. And while I was preparing this lesson, this letter that my grandma had sent to me fell on the floor, and since it fell on the floor, otherwise I would not have read it. I found out that it went along perfectly with what I was talking about this morning. Like God was saying, here, you need to read this. So I'm going to read a portion of that letter. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice in and be glad in it. Psalms 118, 24. From November through February 1st, we are especially thankful for the winter celebration of life. Oh, that we could enjoy the other 10 months as joyously. We can if we try. Life is what happens while making plans. And we really felt this recently when 9 women from the Pleasant Hill congregation were afflicted with illnesses of various sorts, and that didn't include me, who took sick the next week, but did include Joyce, who frightened all of us, and Dad, or David, who told the church folks that he had knee problems. During that time, we lost dear Connie and All this helped us realize how fragile life is, but God does not want us to be sorrowful. Listen to what a man named Addison once said. The essentials of life are something to do, someone to love, and something to hope for. I count it a privilege that the Lord has granted me extra time on this earth to live. I pray that you too will realize that life is a gift, blessed and sacred. But all of us have our down times, and that is when we realize our weaknesses and look to the Lord for strength. I just try to praise God for each day and its teachings. I usually learn more from my mistakes than I have made from then when everything goes by like a breeze in summer. It is interesting how we have a gloomy day, but as we rise the next day, often we see the sunshine arising also. Then we have joy in the morning. I am glad for wintry days. I can have sunshine in my apartment that didn't peek through during summer or was hidden by leaves on trees. The little sun-activated dolls in my window dance for me most days and even on some cloudy days. I guess the sun does come through the clouds and the dolls feel it. Grandma always has a good way of sending letters and thinking of other people, even when she's not feeling good herself. Who says God doesn't pay attention to us when we need him? Deuteronomy 31, 7 through 8. Then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in the presence of all Israel, "Be strong and courageous, for you must go with this people into the land that the Lord swore unto their ancestors to give them, and you must divide it among them as their inheritance. The Lord himself goes before you, and he will be with you, and he will never leave you or forsake you. Do not be afraid, and do not be discouraged." What a helpful thing for the Lord to give Joshua as he went forward. Words of comfort for him to build him up as he leads his people. God will be with us in every situation if we lean on him and recognize him. He will not leave us without answer if we reach out to him. If we just lay on our bed thinking, "Woe is me," he isn't going to help us unless we reach out. And that can mean a prayer or reaching out to another Christian friend, Christian preferably, that they might give you a Christian advice. We have been told that there are going to be trials in this life. And we are also told to rejoice in them regardless of our situation, which can seemingly be difficult to do. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Revelations 21 and 4. That, of course, is what we have to look forward to. God is going to wipe all our tears away. All our problems will be done. How good does that sound? No more depression. If we stand steadfast in him, he does not break his promises. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 8:38 through 39. The only way that we can be separated from God is if we remove ourselves from the equation. He remains a rock for us. He remains steadfast. He remains there. If you find that you have removed yourself from the equation, or that you've never made yourself a part of the equation that leads to eternal life, you have an opportunity. You have an invitation to come forward and proclaim Christ as your Savior and be baptized and become a body of Christ and a member of this flock and a part of a body of Christ that can always be there to help you like they helped me. And if you have other needs that can be helped at this time, feel free to make sure that you take the opportunity to come forward and make those things known so God can help you as we stand and sing.